Give unto God what belongs to God, and unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar's. Those two words, unto Caesar, was the title of my master's thesis that I wrote. But it was so painful writing it, all those pages, all those words, sleepless nights, that I would never, as your loving pastor, bring you into the pain of that. So, as your loving pastor, I'll just say this. That when a Christian gets that right, that giving unto God what is God's and giving unto Caesar what is Caesar's, when we get that right, there are no better citizens in a country than Christians. There are none. When we get it wrong, it's ugly. But when we get it right, there are no better citizens. Why? Because it's about where we place our hope and our love. Every one of you has hope. You were given it at baptism. It was one of the gifts right over there that God gave you. Where do you put that, though? For the Christian, they put their hope, their ultimate hope, in Christ the King. You can see the crown he wears even on the cross and on the kingdom of God. But where we experience that as strange or naive, placing all my hope there, is where I'm going to tend to take that hope and place it instead in the rulers of this earth and in the nations of this earth. And what that does with that hope is it smothers it out. And we can get very embroiled in thinking that politics then can save us from our biggest problems. I remember being 8 years old, 1992, watching the first presidential election I could remember. And I thought, wow, I am so glad I'm old enough to remember this, because this, they're saying, is the most important election ever. And I'm 8 years old. If I would have been a little bit younger, I wouldn't be able to watch it. Everybody's going to be talking about this for centuries. The most important election ever. And then I found out that's what every election is, they say. A Christian, though, when they have their hope placed in the eternal King and his kingdom, they're able to expect of politics what it can do. We put too much weight on politics, thinking it's going to solve our greatest problems that we have. It can't, and it was never meant to be that. But that's what happens when we put our hope there. A Christian is able to be free to say, yes, what happens in that realm is important, and you have to be involved. But you're not going to put your hope there, where if something goes wrong, then I'm in this dark pit of despair. Instead, the Christian, if they're receiving their light from Christ the King because they place their hope there, is able to bring that light then into the world to truly be a light to the nations, no matter what an outcome of an election. Second is where we place our love. The Christian, you know well, places their love in God and then their love in the people who are right here, your neighbor. Most especially and most difficult is placing that love in your enemy, even your political enemy, and putting your love into those who don't worship that same God. Loving them with a special fervor. For those who put their hope in this world, though, who are trying to build a kingdom on earth of our own strength, they put their love in these ideologies that they have, in a movement, and in everyone that agrees with that. That's where they put their love. But everyone who disagrees with that, it's hatred, that they must be crushed and defeated. This is very different from how a Christian engages in politics and is meant to engage. That a Christian, we're part of a religion, which is a conquering religion, but we don't conquer with the powers of this world. We don't conquer by destruction of the enemy, but by the power that's within us of God Himself, which is the power of divine life and love. We're even our greatest enemy, and those who don't worship the God that we do, but rather false gods, that when we pray for them, and then when we love them, that power which is within us can do far more than any human thing we can. And that's the last point, is on Christian power. Democracy. Democracy is not the faith. The faith is not democracy. Democracy is really good. It's the best system we have right now. But democracy works like this. We all know this. The people have the power. And then with your vote, you elect someone to represent you in government. And you hope that that person who represents you, who you've elected, is going to represent the image of what the people want, the people's will. And if they don't, the next election comes and you try and vote them out. But the people have the power and they give it to the elected representative. How very different God is. Because what God has done, St. Paul says, He has chosen you. That God has all the power and He has chosen you. And He has given you His power. Created in His image, you have become a king, a queen in His kingdom. And this, St. Paul says, is what the gospel power and message is about. For it did not come to you in word alone, but also in power in the Holy Spirit and with much conviction. When you belong and are connected with God, His very divine life is what flows through you. It's like being connected as a plug into an outlet. When you were baptized, the electricity of God's life flows through you. And this is what we communicate when we communicate our faith, when we evangelize. It's not just a message. It's not just a message that God saved you and you should believe and love Him, that I communicate with you each day and that you're meant to communicate to the world. But rather what we give is divine life itself. We give the healing that we hear about in the Gospels to others. We give His words of hope to others when we live our Christian faith, when we're connected with Him. St. Teresa of Avila, whose feast day was this past week, speaks about this reality that Christ has no body now on earth but yours. He doesn't have any hands now but yours. No feet to bring the gospel message to others but yours. The church, you are His body. And His life flows through you. When it's blocked or cut off, we experience that. Sadness, anxiety, fear. But when it's alive, it's the most powerful force. This week, I want you to look, and where's the area in your life where you experience powerlessness, where you experience hopelessness? That area is where God desires to bring His life. It's where He wants you to allow Him there, that area of death He might bring to life. Let's pray for that now as well. I invite you. You can go through the motions, but I invite you just to take a moment with me and ask God to bring His life into that. So if you'll join me in prayer. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Jesus, we believe that You are real and that You desire to be an intimate part of our lives. Tell Jesus now in your heart, where in this past week have you felt powerless? Have you felt any hopelessness? Ask Jesus to enter that area of your life with his love, with his healing. Jesus, we ask all this in your most holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.